Once more under the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting episode of The Personal Wealth Coach starring Jeff and Jake McClure. And actually, this is the second half of the episode, but, you know, it's really awkward in the pattern of things to say. And another second half of today's episode of, I guess we could say.
You did kind of say it just now.
I just did.
You did it multiple times.
It's a little hard to work my way through there. And anyway, if today is Saturday, July 25th of the year 2015.
We're live.
Otherwise, we're dead?
Well, that would be the
opposite of live. Well, that means you can call in, and we will answer the phone, Lord willing.
Right.
And the telephone numbers, if you're in East Bell County, the telephone number, if you are in East Bell County, and this is a local call, 773-1400, otherwise?
1-866-597-1400. During the break, we were talking about the Federal Reserve and a piece of data that got leaked.
It got leaked and squeaked at the same time. It was a stray file that was in digital format that was stuck in the midst of the other files that they routinely
on a website site
release, and
it really wasn't even noticed. It
wasn't
in the midst of the other stuff that was released. It was in another place in the website that nobody really looked at, and except one of the economists at the Federal Reserve said that's not supposed to be there. That's supposed to be in the secure section. So what was released? It was the projections that were given to the board to make decisions on what they, you know, these are the expectations for the economy, and stuck in the middle of the expectations, which have now been released officially because they were released unofficially, and now they said, they actually corrected it
because it wasn't actually a correct release.
Right. It was an incorrect, it was a sloppy thing, and that's part of the reason why they wait 5 years to release it, just to make sure all the typos are taken care of.
Just get the slop out of it.
Yes, because
right.
5 years is a long time for editing unless you're the Federal Reserve. So they said that they expect the short-term interest rate, and they said the prevailing short-term interest rate, which...
The nominal federal funds rate...
Prevailing.
At the end of 2015, the nominal federal funds rate would be 0.35.
Right. So, let me break that down.
It's currently 0 to 0.25.
Right. What that means is we're likely to see two small rate hikes before the end of the year. They like to do the rate hikes in quarter percent hikes. However, the first hike that they make will probably be kind of a test the waters and see what happens hike. So they want to make it a really small hike to say, what will the market do with this?
Yep.
So it's likely that at one of the new meetings, they're going to rate hike by 0.1 and go ahead.
Have you thought about the term hike? It's a football term.
Right. Or walking, possibly.
Well, it actually comes from football where the guy says hike.
Well, that's just because they're throwing the ball up in the air.
That's because it's a hike. It goes up.
All right. So let me finish this thought. We have a caller waiting, so let me finish this real quick. So it's likely they're going to test the waters, because they like to do that. They like to move slowly, by doing a 0.1% hike and then another quarter point hike at the next meeting, just to say, all right, we told you we were going to do this. Now we've done it. This leak was supposed to be inadvertent. They say it's inadvertent. They say they didn't mean to do it. However, if you're planning on testing the waters with a little hike, what better way to test the waters with a little hike than not doing the little hike but saying you might do one?
Well, maybe it wasn't inadvertent, it was vertent.
Maybe it was on purpose. They actually meant the world to find it, and they didn't find it, so they had to announce that the leak took place even though nobody actually saw it except them.
Well, they suggested that it might have been downloaded by somebody.
Oh, it may or may not have been downloaded by someone somewhere, but because nobody said anything about it, it hasn't hit the news. We have a press release that says, we accidentally let this out, but we really meant to do it.
Yeah, okay. Well, we have a caller on 773-1400 who probably makes more sense than that and the Federal Reserve. So
combined.
You're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Two questions. The first one is about the International Monetary Fund.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise known as the IMF.
IMF. And the second question is, what happens to the U.S. dollar if the IMF announces a new reserve or currency this fall?
A new reserve currency? Meaning other than the ones that already exist?
There are quite a few already in existence.
Yeah, there's lots of them. The pound is a reserve currency. The euro is a reserve currency.
The dollar is a reserve currency.
If they announce this fall, it would be too soon. The United States can, by the way, can veto in the IMF anything. So maybe 2 years from now, if China enacts some major reforms in their financial system, which is not
it's questionable
a necessity, but if they do all the reforms that we have requested in their financial system, makes it more transparent, actually release a GDP that somehow
actually makes sense,
reflects a little bit of reality, then eventually, and I think eventually, the Chinese currency will be one of the world's reserve currencies.
The ruble will not be, in the foreseeable future, a reserve currency. So
nothing happens if the...
It just means that you can look at the... And here's another thing. Even if the yuan becomes a reserve currency, they have made no effort to decouple themselves from the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So if they become a really strong world currency, it just means the dollar becomes a stronger world currency.
Let me explain what a reserve currency is. If a bank anywhere in the world wants to be certified internationally as a bank that can do international transactions, exchange money and so on, it must have certain reserves on hand. And those reserves have to be composed of reserve currencies. That's why they're called reserve currencies.
Because if you have them in Thai bahts, there's no knowing what the Thai baht is going to do. There is a history of instability in the Thai baht.
So, for instance, right now, the bank could hold euros or dollars or pounds, and that would be okay. But they can't hold the yuan. They can't hold rubles. I mean, they can hold them, but they just don't count as reserve.
Right. They count as just assets, but they're not counted as reserve assets, which means that they can't make loans above their reserves.
And a very important thing, which is part of why the price of gold has fallen about 30% this year, is that there was an expectation by speculators that the Chinese, because they're trying to achieve reserve currency status, which is the only reason they want that, by the way, is for face, because it will make them seem important in the world.
Well, there's another reason.
And they'd also like to trade in yuan rather than dollars.
They would like their banks to be able to take deposits from the international area. And because right now they can't, and they don't want to. So they want to in the near future, but not now.
So here's the point. The Chinese, and I mentioned this last hour, it was expected that the Chinese would buy a huge quantity of gold, and that would run the price of gold up to about $2,000 an ounce, in order to build the kind of gold reserves that Great Britain
and the United States,
the European Central Bank, and the United States hold.
Mostly at the New York Federal Reserve. All three of those have most of their gold at the New York Federal Reserve.
So it was assumed the Chinese were going to go out and buy a bunch of gold, which would cause the price to go up. Well, the Chinese have not bought gold. As a matter of fact, they've been selling gold. And they've made it very, very clear they have no intention of holding gold because, among other things, they don't like the Russians very much, and the Russians can control the price of gold.
Because that's where most of the gold comes from.
So
most new gold comes from Russia.
So what
used to come from South Africa, too, but the mines are all shut down for some reason.
So their reserves, which to be a reserve currency, you have to have reserves of some time to back your currency. Their reserves they have chosen, the reserve they have chosen is not the euro, nor the ruble, nor gold, but dollars.
They're buying U.S. Treasuries.
So if the Chinese were, A, to become more transparent and more appropriate in their financial affairs internally, and, B, become a reserve currency, it would probably strengthen the dollar's position in the world. There's your answer.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, it's not the scary answer that people want to hear when they want to know that there's some big threat. There are threats. It's just not that one.
Well, The whole, and I dug into this a while back. I don't have any sites for it, but I actually dug into this. Why the big thing about the Chinese taking over the world with their currency? And the answer is, and I actually found several articles on that on gold sites that were trying to sell gold, is in order to do that, the Chinese are going to have to buy a lot of gold.
Right.
The price of gold will go up, so if you buy gold today, you'll become fabulously wealthy.
That's the myth.
But it's not true. And the point is, they didn't do that, and the people who bought into gold have lost. Well, actually, by the time you do the transaction costs,
They've lost a lot of money.
And the storage costs and everything else.
To be exact, the number is a lot.
Right. If you bought gold when the real craze was going on following the 2009 recession, and you tried to get out now before it goes down further, which it probably will, you'd only lose about 50%.
Yeah, right. About 45% down from where you were. If you bought gold back in 1982 and you sold it in 2000, there was about an 85% drop in value if you adjust for inflation.
Mm-hmm. So,
right.
That's what's going on there. The dollar, very frankly, the United States economy, the Chinese economy is very suspect. It just had a massive crash in its stock market, which got stopped by the government going in and putting half the total value of the stock market into the stock market buying stocks.
Yes.
Which is a real good way, which is a really crazy way to stop a stock market crash, but that's the way they did it.
I want to talk about that a bit later, too.
And what that does is it convinces everybody in the world that the Chinese economy is not stable.
Right.
And so nobody is going to trust the Chinese economy for 40 more years, probably.
At least. Even the Chinese are not going to trust.
Right.
Let me hit this
right.
Real
the Chinese
quick.
Are moving their money out of the country.
Yeah. What happened? People have talked about the Chinese market collapse. They've got three stock markets over there. The major one.
Let me throw one other thing. Okay. The reason I said no one's going to. There's no danger of the Chinese currency replacing the dollar. You have to trust whoever is managing the dollar or whoever is managing the Chinese currency that they're not going to mess with it, because you can mess with gold. You can mess with a lot of other things. And because the Federal Reserve is independent of Congress, the world trusts the Federal Reserve system to manage the dollar. And that, by the way, is why the moves among the conservatives in the House of Representatives to basically seize control of the Federal Reserve are the only really scary thing that's going on up there right now. But fortunately, saner voices will prevail, I hope.
All right. So just as a sideline of that, it's a piece of the same puzzle. The stock markets of China had this big run-up at the beginning of the year, huge run-up.
100% growth.
In very short period of time. We're talking about just a number of 1 or 2 or 3 months, 100% growth in the market. Followed immediately by this massive collapse. And people were going, what is that? This doesn't look like it's a lot of money coming in from outside. It's not a lot of money coming in from hedge funds. It's not a lot of money coming in.
Oh, it's all local.
It's local. The Chinese citizens have not had the right to buy stocks in their own companies publicly almost ever, because it's been a communist country. They're trying to emulate the United States and Great Britain, specifically, a little bit of emulation in Germany. They are hiring Nobel Prize-winning economists to come over and teach them how to do things. So they have a system where they're trying to be like us. They start the stock market. They open it up for citizens of China to invest. But the citizens of China have absolutely no history of investing in the stock market. The stockbrokers in China have absolutely no history of being stockbrokers in China. So if you think about the stockbrokers, they're talking to people that have never invested before.
And they don't have a Securities and Exchange Commission.
No, and they don't have any regulatory authority. They're telling people, put your money in here, you'll do great, look everywhere else. Look at all the other countries in the world that do this, you're going to do great. So a lot of people said, oh, this sounds amazing, and they put their money in the market, and people started doing it at great. They were like, well, this is going incredibly well. And then the market started dropping. And what do amateur investors do when the market drops? They sell, which is exactly what happened here. We have an amateur economy, an amateur capital economy, where they don't know what we know. We kind of grow up slowly. You start with small investments and you add to it over time in your 401k and your pension plan and all these little places where we, as ignorant as we claim to be about investing, the youngest person that can have a conversation about investing knows buy low, sell high. They know some of the fundamentals, at least. I mean, we don't know enough, but we know a lot more than the Chinese do about it.
Right.
So that's why we have this instability over there. And as long as that exists, and that's why old Baldy across from me, Jeff, said, wait 40 years and they may have something. But in 40 years, their demographics is a ticking time bomb. There will be...
Well, there'll be five nations.
At least five nations. And they may be at war with each other. Because their demographics are such that one child has four grandparents and he or she is the only grandchild. And that's not sustainable. You cannot support the elderly with the income of one person. You can't support four and then eventually six as their parents get older. It just it can't happen. So don't be too afraid about what China is going to do when they take over the world. That's not going to happen. Be afraid of what happens when China collapses, because that whole area of the world's stability is linked to having a strong central government in China. That's 10 or 15 years out. So don't be too worried about reserve currencies. Be worried about Pacific area when that happens. It's not going to be fun.
I'm also hearing something about the 16th of October.
It's going to come. We have it on good authority.
I have a calendar that was written that said that day will happen.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, what will happen on the 16th of October?
The midnight will come. There will be 24 hours, and then it will go away.
Okay.
What is it exactly that you have heard?
What are you hearing?
So what you're saying is don't listen to Ron Paul then.
Oh, who's Ron Paul or
Rand?
Rand Paul.
I'm talking about Ron, the old man.
Okay, what is he saying is going to happen on the 16th of October?
Oh, he's got... All right, he's saying now for seniors, which I'm a senior now,
uh-huh.
I'm in the 80s. He's got some websites we're supposed to go to. I've never gone to any of them. As a matter of fact, this is the first time I've called a television program, and I was supposed to say thank you for taking my call. But I want to thank you now.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, you're certainly welcome.
You were very informative, because you're telling me the sky is not falling in. No, but
It is. Gravity works.
Well, now, the sky is not going to fall.
Right.
Okay.
Except
to him, and he's getting his information from Stansberry Research, whoever they are.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants you to go to his website and what all that stuff is. Now, I just got one more question.
Well, you think the dollars? The only thing I've been able to find that matches with what you're talking about is that Ron Paul says that there is a huge bubble. The dollar is in a huge bubble.
And he's been saying that a long time, though.
But he's been saying that for 40 or 50 years, and the dollar has risen consistently during that period of time. So actually, Ron Paul's warning is an indication that the dollar will probably get stronger on October 16th.
Yeah,
because whatever he says, the opposite normally happens.
Right. I like him personally. I think he's a man that really sticks with his beliefs. But some of his beliefs are really weird.
He is a peculiar person who says what he thinks. What he thinks is not always rational and certainly not supported by what he has predicted in the past.
Right.
And he's no longer a congressman. He's retired. His son is now taking up the flag of whatever it is that he is.
Right.
Theoretically, I mean, and wants to bring all the troops home and start World War III. But the point is that there's always somebody who the fear mongers are readily going to proclaim, because they made some comment, is saying the end of the world, the collapse is coming, the nastiness is going to fall upon you. Now, you got to dig just a little deeper. Therefore, you should. Now, fill in whatever blank it is there. The you should, and you will discover that whoever sponsors that site deep down,
yeah, most of the time it's most of the time is buy gold.
Okay, now
or silver.
Here's the point. This is the key point. If you can keep your mind on this, it'll help tremendously. If the big money that is behind that big website or the advertisement on Fox or whatever you're seeing says
right.
you should buy gold, it means they are trying to sell gold, right?
Right. This,
the big money is trying to sell gold. So what if really, really, really smart people want to sell gold, who is it that's buying gold? Not smart people,
yeah.
right? So they assume
right.
that you're stupid.
That's a bad assumption.
They assume you're stupid and you will buy the gold that they're trying to sell because they want to sell gold.
Well, this, and I found something associated with what you're talking about. Stansberry and Associate, they're an investment research firm, purportedly, did an infomercial, which means that they're not really an investment research firm. They're somebody that wants to sell booklets. And they did an infomercial with Ron Paul saying that civil unrest, authoritarian clampdowns of epic proportions, currency crisis, and somehow October 16th gets thrown in there. This reminds me a little bit of the signs that say our Lord and Savior is returning on November 1st or whatever
right.
year
right.
you want to do. You make a lot of money.
By scaring people.
By scaring people. And you make money by saying this disaster is coming and we're the only ones that can help you.
What year was it that the Mayans predicted the end of the world?
What year did they predict it would happen? Or what year? Because
yeah,
they didn't really predict it. That's just the last calendar year that they had.
The stuff that was in the
I think it was
last year sometime.
Yeah, 2013 or 2014.
Okay. It's just like the fact that they found that there is a glyph at the end of a spiral calendar that says end of earth, which also can be translated end of this rock.
Right. This rock is done. Well, it's made of earth.
and the point is...
Ran out of space is what they're saying.
We have, in the United States of America today, the most vibrant, the most healthy, the most stable socioeconomic system in the history of the world. It currently shows zero signs of what we call systemic instability. It just isn't there. Now, believe me, if I saw signs of systemic instability, or if Jake saw signs of systemic instability,
we'd be telling you. And we did say it in 2007, in 2006, and in 1999.
We did say there's an element in the society that is out of whack and it's going to correct itself by falling down. And they did. But the whole society, we have this amazing – I don't know if you know this or not. Not only do we have the largest economy, the healthiest economy, and in absolute terms the fastest growing economy in the world, we also have the oldest government in the world.
Yeah.
And it is,
and that's hard for people to believe because they think, well, what about these monarchies? Well, the monarchies are no longer the government; they have parliaments,
right.
and those we have a constitution that's older than any other nations.
And if you, like I said, if nothing else, people say, well, the Chinese are going to take over or something like that. Well, the Chinese have made, and this is the biggest advertisement for the United States. I know there's two of them. One, the Chinese have chosen not to buy gold but buy dollars to stabilize their economy and their currency. Number two. You can find lots of very good articles in very well reputable places that indicate there is a sincere effort by the wealthiest people in China to get their money out of China and into the United States. And the only way they can legally do that is buy something over here. So they're coming over and buying. Down at Ingleside, there is a huge construction effort going on. You can go down and see it. It's all financed by Chinese individuals and Chinese corporations. Why? Because they want to put their money into Texas dirt. Because even at Ingleside, which is pretty swampy dirt,
it's worth more than Chinese dirt.
It is considered to be a safe and stable place to put their money where we have due process. And we have fee simple ownership of land.
If you go back to the 1980s, if you think of Back to the Future 3 or Back to the Future 1, or I guess it's Back to the Future 2, he goes forward in time and everybody's working for the Japanese. Everybody's got to learn how to speak Japanese and everybody's got to bow when they come into work. And, you know, that's the idea. The Japanese economy has taken over the world. That was the attitude, and it was an attitude based on the fact that Japanese were coming to the United States and buying huge properties. And that happens right before a big collapse in their country. If you look at the price of real estate in Manhattan, a big part of the reason why we had this big run-up in the price of real estate in Manhattan over the last 6 years was because a bunch of Russians were going in there and buying condos and houses and high-rises in Manhattan because they were afraid that the ruble was going to fail, and enough so that Putin has said that he will forgive money laundering and organized crime if they just bring their money back home. What we see with China is the same deal. When you get a big bubble, when people have made a lot of money, they come to the United States with it. And that's bad for their economy. It's really bad for their economy because they've just taken all the money that they made over there and brought it over here. It's great for us. We love it.
Right.
And generally, we tend to buy back the properties that they just bought at a discount because their economy collapses.
I think they bought the Waldorf Astoria, didn't they?
The Japanese or the Chinese?
Oh, the Chinese.
Yeah.
Because the president couldn't stay there when he went to New York, or he stayed someplace else.
I don't know.
I think it was the Chinese. I think it was the Chinese.
Okay.
But well, that's just an example of what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's a good sign. The fact that the Chinese want to buy property here is excellent.
Well, I always thought that, too. If I build a big plant in a certain country, and then somebody else owns it, and the plant goes broke, well, I still got the plant.
Yeah, exactly.
In other words, it's whether the Chinese has money to operate or not, the plant is still located here, you know. I don't know. Well, look, thank you all very much for the information.
Yeah, certainly. Well, thank you for
the call.
You asked some very good questions. Thank you.
And I've been listening to y'all a while, and your program helps balance that negative stuff that's out there.
Well, we're not trying to sell anything.
No.
No. You know, and I think that
this conversation that I had with you would have probably cost me $150. You know, with a lawyer or somebody else. So,
yeah. So
look, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
I'm sure it's worth every penny you paid for.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks for the call.
And you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and we do have to break for some commercials. Looks like two of them are going to repeat back-to-back. And the telephone numbers to call in here on the other side of the commercials are 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
We'll be back. We're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. I tried changing the tone down an octave to see if it worked any different. Okay. Hey, I got some good news for you.
Uh-oh. We're going to lose listeners if you have good news.
Well, bad news. It's bad news for somebody else, though. Okay?
Better ratings is we get.
Better ratings through bad news.
Right. We need to tell the world. The world is ending.
That should be Fox's motto. Better ratings through bad news.
I can say the sky is falling. Because that's how the atmosphere is
stays yeah,
there.
It
is,
yeah.
Gravity is affecting it, and the sky is falling. It is being sucked to the earth. Otherwise, we would be losing our ability to breathe.
That's, by the way, what happens in a high pressure system like we have over Texas right now, is the air is descending.
Ah,
it's called
the sky
subsistence,
is falling,
which prevents clouds from which have to rise to make rain from falling. So the sky is literally falling whenever it's blue.
Which is a lot better than if we had a helium atmosphere, which would mean we wouldn't really have an atmosphere because it would all go away. This guy would be some rising.
Yeah, and then this guy would be, we don't talk like this.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Okay, well, I got some good news, but okay. We also have a caller on 773-1400. So, caller, you take precedence over good news. Go ahead and talk.
Well, thanks very much. Everybody seems to be walking on eggshells about when and if the Federal Reserve is going to increase the interest rate. They're speaking of the sky is falling. Everybody thinks the stock market's going to fall into the tank, and all kinds of bad things are going to happen. And y'all probably talked about this a lot, but I didn't have anything else to do today, so I decided to listen to you. And
that's just what we do too.
Just kidding.
That's what we do too. We don't have anything else to do.
Very sorry that that's the only thing you've got to spend your Saturday on.
But anyway, I'd love to hear your comments on, what you think will happen or won't happen or whatever.
When the Federal Reserve raises interest rates, short-term interest rates for those banks that can borrow directly from the Federal Reserve will increase.
Right. It will cost slightly more for a bank to get a reserve loan from the Federal Reserve.
Which none of them really do very often anyway.
Right.
Does that help?
We can go a little bit further.
I'm in business. What's the practical application, if any, in business, investing in the stock market, et cetera?
It actually just simply means the Federal Reserve thinks there is enough slack and there's enough activity in the economy. It needs to be slowed down a little bit, which should make loans from banks, which normally are set based on that number, slightly more expensive at that point, which should cause people to it drains money out of the economy, in essence. It starts to pull money back out of the economy instead of pumping money into the economy. But it really won't. Because inflation is, we haven't got much inflation. It's around 1%, but inflation is still higher than the federal funds rate.
Right. Now, let me throw in some background here. This will help you a lot, I think. The reason why banks open so late and close so early is because historically they've had to calculate some things, or they'd get in a lot of trouble. They've got to look at how many loans they give on a given day and make sure that they didn't exceed the amount of money going out, because they have reserve requirements. The Federal Reserve says that you have to have a certain percentage of the money that you have, that your depositors have there, just sitting there in case your depositors come and want to make a withdrawal. So at the end of the day, they say, they get all their loans together and they say, how many loans did we give today? Whoops, we gave too many loans out. So they go to the Federal Reserve. It's called going to the window. And they say to the Federal Reserve, we need a loan. We gave too much money away. The Federal Reserve says, we will charge you the federal funds rate for that loan.
Which right now is nothing.
Wait, we're basically not going to charge you anything. And then what they're trying to do with that is trying to get banks to loan money. Well, it's not working because the banks lost a lot of money when the people that they loaned money to didn't pay them back. So the end result here is that if you do get a loan, it's going to be at a slightly higher interest rate. But not a significantly higher interest rate. When the Federal Reserve raises that, what they're doing is they're saying it's a little bit more expensive for a bank if they've given out too many loans on a given day to get a temporary loan from the Federal Reserve to meet their reserve requirements.
But it's symbolic, and what it'll do, it'll say, well, in other words, if you could have gotten a, let's say, 5% loan from the bank, which I just did, for 15 years. Which is absurdly low, okay?
Yeah, it's very, very low.
I got a 5% loan from the bank for 15 years, and they would, if the Fed raised the rates to 0.25, they'd probably raise their rates to 5.25.
Right, because they want to keep the same margin. The amount of money that they make on the loan needs to stay the same
now,
just in case they give too many loans out.
And the fear, the reason everybody is so obsessed about this is there have been times in the past half century or so
when banks were giving lots of loans,
when the Federal Reserve raised interest rates too fast and created recessions
because banks weren't either continued to give loans, but people didn't want to get the loan because the interest rate was too high.
Well, basically, if the Fed were to overreact and raise interest rates quickly, then the loan rate would fall off, the money creation rate would fall off, we would have a shortage of money, and we would have a recession. Now, the fact is, this thing we talked about that was leaked by the Federal Reserve officially, unofficially, but then they officially posted the thing that was leaked.
We are officially saying that we unofficially leaked something. Officially, now we've leaked it.
And what if you read that, and I have, and if you understand it, which requires a lot of Googling of terms to figure out because they don't explain it, it says that the real effective federal funds rate, even after they raise it to, if they raise the federal funds rate to 0.35%, then the real federal funds rate is still a negative 0.95. In other words, inflation is running 1.35 is what they're saying right now. And if they raise it to 0.35, you still could borrow money from the Fed and make
money
almost
on inflation.
1% a year on it simply because of inflation.
And still get the deduction for the interest, because banks get to deduct the interest that they're charged as a business expense. So they get a deduction on that as well.
Here's the key to this, though. If you read that piece of paper, that chart that they released, by 2020, they expect the nominal federal funds rate to be at 3.34%. Now, that's
a healthy rate. That's a healthy rate.
Mm-hmm. And that is a 1.4% real rate. In other words, they will be drawing money out of the economy. They anticipate by 2020 no longer pumping money into the economy. A negative real rate for the Federal Reserve means they're actually putting money into the economy.
Right.
A positive real rate means they're putting money back out of the economy. So they expect in the next 5 years, and this is what people should really be looking at.
5 years is a lot more important than a 1 month.
They expect a very significant growth in the United States economy over the next 5 years to the point where inflation does become a threat, and they need to start slowing things down.
Now, what this will have...
Okay, time out. You guys are far more technical than most people can, and I certainly can't understand half of what you just said.
Oh.
But let me ask you this. Like, for example, in business you have a line of credit as an example.
Right.
And the rate on that line of credit is tied to
Prime.
Federal funds rate plus plus 1% or whatever.
It's
using the right term.
Yeah, it's tied to Prime.
Federal funds rate. It's tied to some kind of a benchmark.
Right. That prime rate.
Right now, how does that affect the prime rate? How about that?
If you have a line of credit, odds are, and the Fed raises rates to 0.25, by 0.25, odds are, and this is not an exact deal, but odds are your line of credit will also go up 0.25%.
Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
But not a lot more.
Yeah, it's going to be a gradual thing, but if you're, I don't know what your line of credit, let's say I had a 5% line of credit, then what the federal funds paper that they released said is that 5% line of credit will probably in 5 years in the future go up to about 8.4% as a line of credit.
Okay, now is that tied to what we were talking about? I mean, is that tied to what the Federal Reserve does?
Yeah.
It's not directly tied, but it is tied.
It's
because the bank, the prime rate is the market rate for loans. Basically, the banks look around and say, what is a non-profit loan? If I wasn't going to make any money, I would give it to you.
On the very best of borrowers.
The very, very best borrower that they just say, we're going to put it here because we know we're going to get it back, but we're not going to make any money on it. That would be the prime rate. So they tack some extra money, some extra percentages on there. And that prime rate, prime rate is influenced by the Federal Reserve rate.
Right. The Federal Reserve has an amazing group of economists in it. Their forecasts, which we normally don't see until 5 years after they forecast, we can look at those and say, they have been more likely to be correct than anybody else. So when they start raising rates, there's an assumption that rates are going to – basically, everybody follows their lead because their forecasting ability has been better than anybody else's. The end result in all of that is that your profitability and the profitability of corporations is potentially threatened by an increased borrowing rate, which could lower earnings, which would cause the stock market to go down. But the backside to that is the reason the Federal Reserve would raise rates is because they expect much increased activity in the economy.
Better activity.
Which means activity. Which means that the profitability will go up. So it's just a big reality
game. Let me come back to lay terms, easy statement. Generally what happens Generally what happens when the Federal Reserve raises their interest rate, the market drops a bit. But the market is famous for going up on rumor and dropping on news, even good news.
Or the reverse. Down on rumor and coming up on news.
Right. The reaction of people is going to depend on what else is going on in the day. It's not like we don't know the Federal Reserve is going to raise rates. Everybody knows it's going to happen. And yet when they do it, the market is going to react, and it may react by going up and then the next day going down. It may react by going down and then the next day going up. It's not a big piece of news. It's going to react, but it's probably going to cancel itself out very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And so people get really, really excited about it because it's public and it's exciting to get excited. It's very much like Donald Trump's campaign for the presidency.
Right. It's very exciting. We're not exactly sure what it means, but it's very exciting.
Right. And it's a lot of fun to track.
I guess he's tapping into something, some kind of a hidden fear. He's actually tapping into something right now that is it's dynamic, I'll say that.
And the guy that commented for the Financial Times from the Jeb Bush campaign said he is saying what a lot of people are thinking but are afraid to say. And he doesn't have any particular philosophical position. He's just figuring out what the right wing of the Republican Party is thinking in their heart of hearts, or feeling.
And saying it. There's a lot of wind.
And he says it out loud. And everybody think, he's just like me. Anyway.
He's not like me.
No, nor is he like me.
Well, listen, I thank you very much. You finally got down to answering questions that I can understand, and I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much, and I wish you well in your business, okay?
All right,
bye-bye. I wanted to throw one thing in here.
Okay, throw it.
We're almost out of time, but I just think it's great. During the time that Russia was busy taking peace, fighting for peace, world peace.
This peace and that peace and
peace
this peace
of,
over here,
peace
all
of
these
Ukraine.
Pieces. Right.
There's lots of evidence that they were sending soldiers from their army in.
Right.
But they wanted to disguise that by saying that people were volunteering.
Right.
And there were lot of fairly radical pro-Russian
biker gang types.
Yeah, well, whatever they are. They a bunch of them who are very, very, very pro-Russian nationalists.
As well as some
went
soldiers.
Through some very, very, very limited training, which was funded by some strange organization, and put on camouflage uniforms, were issued weapons, and went to Ukraine and started shooting people. Okay. Guess what? The Russians...
pulled out of there.
Putin has said, okay, this is as far we want to go. We're actually going to stand this thing down before it gets us in trouble. And these guys are coming home now. The problem is they were radicals, pro-Russian radicals, who thought that Putin hadn't gone far enough and they wanted to take all of Ukraine. And they're now very, very angry at him for them going into combat. And they're coming back even more radicalized, but with combat training and weapons. And the Russians are apparently freaking. The Russian government is realizing,
oops.
To use a Donald Trump, oops. Okay, and we have a caller on 773.
How do you say oops in Russian?
I don't know. We have a caller on 773-1400. You're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. My call is this. You know, a lot of people are investing their money in gold, stocks, bonds, and you know, other interests of that. I'm just needing to find out as far as, you know, guns, handguns, stuff like that you might see at a gun show, if people have that type of investment and those type of materials, could they invest that later on in money? And as far as the the guns are worthless if you don't have ammunition for it. I don't know if it's a true statement or not.
I don't
but
consider.
But I've heard that the shelf life of ammunition is not going to be like it used to be because the government is going to regulate
Hang on.
I will take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, the investment in guns is of limited value.
Well, most people that buy guns as an investment are really buying guns because they like to collect guns.
Right.
They really don't generally sell the guns once they get them unless they're in business selling guns. Because there are people that do gun shows and they buy and sell things there, but that's kind of a business.
Yeah, the dealers at the gun shows make money, but the people who invest in guns...
Get a lot of guns.
And I know that I know people who bought a gun for something and they say it's worth ever so much more today.
But they try to sell it and they, that's where it kind of falls apart.
And very frankly, I'm going to tell you something that is probably going to harmonize with what a lot of people believe. Transactions in firearms are going to be increasingly restricted as the decades go by for a very simple reason. They have been gradually growing more restrictive for a long time.
And we expect that trend is going to happen.
And
it's going to continue.
Every time somebody takes a firearm and goes out and kills a bunch of people, another chunk of the population concludes that if you have to be licensed and by the state to drive a car, and this is the argument, and you're going to hear
We hear that argument a lot.
If you have to be licensed by the state to own a car, why shouldn't you have to be licensed by the state to own a firearm?
And we know the answer because a firearm is a right, and it's a privilege to drive a car. So don't think that we're putting that argument forward. But that's the argument that's going, and people are being swayed by it.
And we are in a democracy. And most of the people in our democracy, more and more and more of them, live in cities where the possession of a firearm is something they don't want to happen. I'm just letting you know that...
Unless it's a Texas city.
The problem with using firearms as investments is they're going to be increasingly restricted as time goes by to sell.
Right. And the other side of it is they're easier and easier to make.
Yes.
And because they're easier to make, the only reason why the supply is being limited is by the same restrictions that we just talked about.
Right. The government keeps the price of firearms up. If the government restricted all restrictions on the selling, if they dropped all restrictions on selling of firearms, the value of firearms would drop through the floor.
Right. And that means I don't like to get involved in a market that is
controlled by
artificially regulated
in
the price point by the government.
Yeah. And
it's not something I want to get involved in because the government is fickle.
So if you want to collect firearms. If you want to shoot firearms. But
you can get lucky. You can get really lucky.
Yeah.
I bought some firearms for myself, and then Obama was elected, and I wound up selling those firearms to people that wanted to pay me a lot more than I bought them for.
Yes.
But I got lucky. That wasn't me saying guns are a good investment. It was because I wanted the guns.
But that is dependent upon a left-wing liberal getting elected.
Right, exactly. And that's not something most people really want if they're owning guns.
Right.
So,
and if a left-wing liberal gets elected, then most of them won't want to sell their guns anyway.
Exactly. They're like, how do I buy more? So keep that in mind. There are restrictive artificial influences on the gun market, and they're going to get more restrictive, not less.
Yes, that's true. And anyway, you are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach, and we are out of time for this, the second hour on Saturday, July 25th. And if you have listened to us, I'm sure your IQ has dropped several points, but
I know mine has.
Your confusion level probably has risen at the same time. We are available during the week, and there's a voicemail on the weekend. You can leave a message for us and let us know what you want us to talk about or not talk about or talk to us about anything to do with finance. Anyway, the telephone numbers are 947-1111 locally. That's 947-1111. Or
you can reach that same voicemail toll-free at 1-800-914-7526. I almost gave the radio studio. That's 800-914-PLAN. You can email us at jeff@tpwc.com or jake@tpwc.com. You can go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com. We have newsletters, and we have podcasts, we have our philosophy, we have our ugly mugs, and the beautiful people that we work with, all available for your perusal.
And until next week, this has been...
Well, you're a minute ahead. You don't have to go yet.
We're running a minute ahead.
Yeah, you started this, and I thought, well, okay, we'll stretch it out.
Obviously a time warp going. Well, let me just throw one last thing in here.
Okay, go ahead.
Cybersecurity.
Yes, very important.
If you don't have something, and don't use Kaspersky, if you don't have, like, McAfee or Norton or one of the other major cybersecurity systems running on your computer, you are contributing to the Chinese takeover of our internet.
Yeah.
And you are, or the Russian takeover. And secondly, if you want to be secure, use at least a 2-point verification system. It's important that you do that.
Yeah. And when we say don't use Kaspersky, that's Russian owned, no thanks. Until next week, this has been the Personal Wealth Coach.
News Radio 1400 KTEM. Serving Central Texas. KTEM AM. Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.
The following is a paid advertisement by Purity Products. These statements have not been evaluated by the